How about that ride in? I guess that's why they call it Sin City. You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack. But when my sister brought Doug home, I knew he was one of my own. And my wolf pack, it grew by one. So where there two of us, there were two of us in the wolf pack. I was alone first in the pack, and then Doug joined in later. And 6 months ago, when Doug introduced me to you guys, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure, I just added two more guys to my wolf pack.
All right.
Four of us wolves running around the desert together in Las Vegas, looking for strippers and cocaine.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 21 of the Air Raid Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Roden.
I am joined by another
man in my one-man wolf pack, Tito Ramsey. He's going to be playing some songs for us a little bit later, and we'll bring him on in just a moment. First, I would just like to thank all of you for sending us the wonderful emails about episode 20. With the most interesting man in the world. Thank you very much. And of course, this is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Episode 21. We are on... This is going to be the first episode in a series of three where we're bringing local musicians on. And very excited to have this going on. We got... In our next episode, episode 22, Mr. Ben Varellen is going to be on the show talking about Varellen Amplifiers and his band Helmsley. And then episode 23, we got Star Anna and her laughing dogs are going to be on the show talking about their newfound success here in the Seattle area and the world abroad. So I'm gonna have to do a quick apology here.
Oh yeah, I like this idea.
If I sound a little hungover, that's because I am. We had a wonderful dinner last night with some friends of ours down in the East Lake neighborhood, and thank you guys very much for getting me blotto last night. I'm feeling a little bit under the weather, and that's why I chose that clip from The Hangover, because I am hungover. In more ways than one. So, yeah, our guest today, Tito Ramsey, old friend of mine. We grew up together in the same small ass town. And we've got some stories to bestow on you, the listener, about finding porno in the woods and the fine art thereof. Also visiting some of the abandoned houses around town, and then Tito's going to talk about his musical background and whether or not he was embarrassed by his parents coming and playing at our elementary school. So let me bring him on, Mr. Tito Ramsey. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing great, man. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I'm glad we could finally line this up. You are a busy, busy man.
Well, I like to pretend that I am.
You play one in real life, apparently. So what have you been up to? You told me that you were doing music. The reason that you couldn't come on last time that we tried to line this up, you were doing music for a play, right?
Yeah, there's a little theater. I think it's called The Little Theater.
Apt name.
And it's inhabited by the Washington Ensemble Theater Group, which is made up of, I think, a lot of the... University of Washington theater grads.
Oh, okay.
And they have a little theater on 19th and like Mercer. It's right next to the Kingfish Cafe.
Nice.
And Cafe Fuel right there.
Right.
So we did a show that's still running right now called Sextet. And it's kind of a edgy, modern, sexy play. This is its premiere. Written by a man named Tommy Smith.
Awesome. So does it have anything to do with porno?
It definitely has sex. It definitely has erotica in it. There's good bit of nudity.
And, awesome.
I encourage all the listeners to go check it out. I think it runs for another few weekends.
Wonderful. So what exactly is it about?
Well, it's about three composers and their relationships with their mistresses and their wives and their nephews. Tchaikovsky had a romantic relationship with his nephew, who was much younger than him.
And that delves into
the kind of nasty lives behind these three composers.
That's kind of gross.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's a difficult show. It's a difficult show.
Well, that sounds pretty cool.
It was fun to do sound for.
Yeah, so when you do sound, like, did you write music for it, or you're just up there kind of playing the music while they're acting?
For this one,
or during the show or something like that.
For this one, I was really just finding recordings. I played no music.
Oh, okay.
A lot of music in the show was the music of the composers, so it was just finding recordings of theirs. And then doing some sound design, like some rain, those kinds of things.
Oh, that's pretty cool. So did you like doing that then?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice.
I loved it. I love theater.
You love theater.
Mm-hmm.
You're a very learned person.
No, I wouldn't say I'm a theater guy. I wouldn't go that far.
Okay.
That's going pretty far. I definitely enjoy the collaborative aspect
of it. Right on. And was that the first time that you'd done something like that then?
I played with the same theater last year, I think it was last year.
Okay, mm-hmm. Cool.
Where I actually wrote some original music.
Oh, nice, mm-hmm. Nice. Okay, and how much longer is that play going then?
I'm not exactly sure. I think it might be the next weekend, but you should search, if you're interested, Sextet. At the Little Theater.
Nice. Yes. Yeah. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, I'm very excited to bring you on here. Now you got some kind of big news going on. You are no longer going to be on the market, so to speak.
It's true. I got engaged a few months ago to a wonderful woman, Irene Wood.
Good job,
and
sir.
Yeah, we will seal the deal on March 26th. So
awesome.
Hands off, ladies. and fellas.
Yeah. Well, and fellas. Right. You want to keep every option open, mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Well, congratulations, my friend. That's wonderful news.
Thank
now we here at Air Raid, we commissioned a study at a local community college up in Shoreline. And we wanted to know, you know, what were the big major changes what happens when you get married? And they came back to us. And, you know, this is an official community college study, and they found that the amount of flatulence actually increases when you get married.
Really?
Yeah, so be on the watch out for that, yeah.
What do you think that's due to?
I think that might be due to the higher intake of, frozen pizzas.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that might be it.
I'm a joke maker.
That joke didn't go as well as I had hoped.
I love frozen pizza.
Okay, good. You're a big Tostino's
There's
man?
There's actually already quite a bit of flatulence. And so if I can expect an increase, I'm not really sure where that's going to go. But
Right. Well, they found that farting increases in men was up about 450%, and the increase in women was only about 5%. But the embarrassment level goes down in the woman. Yeah. The embarrassment level in the man is non-existent pretty much, but
right.
Yeah, she will no longer be embarrassed to fart in front of you.
That's
or
great.
Fart on your thigh.
Uh-huh.
If you're spooning.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So watch out for that. No offense, Irene. We've never met, so it doesn't matter. Right. So like I said at the top of the show, we kind of grew up together. We grew up in the same small town over on the Kitsap Peninsula, right?
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
Indianola.
And I wanted to kind of pick your brain because, you know, everybody's experience is different growing up, right?
Uh-huh.
But I have a lot of real fond memories of growing up in that small town. Do you ever make it back there much?
I go once a month or so.
You do?
To see the fam and
mm-hmm.
And hang. Not as much as I should. My grandparents are still out there too.
Right on, mm-hmm. right on.
So I make it out every once in a while.
Yeah, and it's changed quite a bit.
It has.
Yeah, it's becoming bigger.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how much I like that. Mm-hmm. Does it bug you at all? Like when you go back there and like you see all these new houses that are being built and things like that. Like I remember the last time we went back and a lot of like up near where you grew up, where your parents' house is, like there's a bunch of new development in that area.
Yeah.
Is that other kind of that? Like,
it's definitely
kind of bugs you.
It's bizarre, yeah. And there's some really very strange houses being built.
Right.
Those ones
right.
that look like a fairy tale. Have you seen
right,
them?
Yeah. The little tiny cabins. They're like maybe like 700 square feet
yeah,
or something like that. Weird. And they're like something out of like, I don't know, like Cinderella,
yeah.
like a small like castle
mm-hmm.
or something like that.
It's like
really
cartoon,
strange.
Cartoony look.
Yeah, yeah. It was like
yeah,
being at Tiny Town at Disneyland or something
yeah,
like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very, it doesn't seem to suit the area at all, the little town.
Right, right.
So that is very
definitely.
Strange.
Yeah. yeah. And I was always like when people ask me like how big Indianola was when we were growing up, I always kind of try to quote from memory like how many people like the population size. What was yeah. the population size, do you think, when we were younger?
I sometimes try to quote that as well. And I remember quoting something around 2000.
2000? You think it was that big?
You think it was smaller?
I think it was smaller.
By what?
I don't know.
I think it was definitely 1,000.
You think it was up? See, yeah. And I would say like around 800 or, you know, a little bit more than that when we were little.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that's still, you know, it is very spread out, though.
That's true.
It kind of goes up into the woods.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what they include, how far into the woods.
Right,
do they
right.
include, like, Tom Cran's little shelter up there? Maybe he's in the census. I don't know.
I doubt he's in the census.
Yeah.
I kind of doubt that. Well, it was a very very interesting childhood we had, mm-hmm. and there was one thing that I wanted to talk about is the fine art of finding porno in the woods in
yeah.
Indianola and how crazy it made the kids
uh-huh.
in the town because at one point. Somebody had found a magazine just kind of down the road from your house at this old abandoned house that was like back in this little ravine
yeah.
that everybody called the fuck house.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
And that was supposedly where the older kids would go and take their dates.
Yeah.
Right. Cause there were a bunch of mattresses in that place.
Yeah. There was that one story about Ian and he was like the one who I heard like it was called the fuck house because of him. Boning on that mattress.
I know exactly who you're talking about, and I think I heard that story also.
Yeah.
I never, you know, and he's kind of
nasty.
He still lives in Indianola, and I'd like to ask him the next time I see him.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
he's a much sweeter guy these days.
He is definitely a much sweeter. He had a pretty,
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He had a rough start.
Yeah. Well, rough start, but he had like this, like, I don't know. There was a lot of stories going around about that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So somebody found this magazine, right, in like the attic space of this old abandoned house back in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And once the kids, kind of the boys in town, found out about this magazine, I mean, that thing made the rounds.
Yeah, it did.
And it somehow it made it out of the house and, you know, nobody wanted to be seen as being a pervert at that age.
Right.
And they were just like, look at it. And then they were like, ew, gross. And they'd throw it away. But then they'd come back when it was dark and they'd rip like 4 or 5 pages out of it.
Right. Right.
Right? Were you one of those kids?
It was all ripped up. I don't know if I ever had any of the infamous pages of that book. I think they were all ripped out by the time it got to me. But I remember this. I remember that being circulated.
Oh, yeah.
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 Like it was like covered in old leaves. You can imagine it's been in this old abandoned house that's been rotting for years. And so
right,
it's just
right.
covered in like dirt and it's
yeah, well, and it was waterlogged.
It was the filthiest, filthy magazine I've ever seen.
Well, I think that was all of our first experience with hardcore porn.
Yeah, I think
it was. You know, because there was some penetration shots in that magazine.
Yeah, it was gross.
Bullshit. Bullshit. You loved it.
I never looked at
it. I was actually one of the kids that took a couple pages out of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, of course, when nobody was looking,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just shove them into my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they just kind of disintegrated, know, but I did my best to kind of dry the pages out and bring them home. I even remember a story of Scott and Greg took some pages from the magazine home and they put them in the dryer.
Really?
And to dry them out. Really? Yeah. Yeah.
Did their mom find it?
Oh, I hope not. Because that would have been, they would not be still alive if their mom had found that.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that stuff. So did you dry them out and then try to piece it back together?
Well, see, I ripped it in such a way where I just got some pictures, and I actually, like, one page I remember in particular, I actually ripped out because I was in such a hurry, I didn't want to get caught. Uh-huh. That one page that I ripped out was actually like the forum page, so it was like the letters that people had sent in.
Those were gross. Yeah,
those were gross. Yeah, I remember, but I still kept it anyway. Uh-huh. You know, for some weird reason, I don't even know if I knew how to masturbate at that age.
Yeah, I mean, it can be a process of discovery.
But that's the one of the great things about growing up in a small town near the woods.
That's true.
And I would love to get emails from any of you out there that have also, during your childhood years, found porno in the woods. Because it seems like kind of a strange thing, right? To find porno in the woods, of all places. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the buried treasure. I don't know. For the, like, weird adolescent, you know, I had treasure hunts as a young kid, you know, candy buried somewhere. I was into the idea of the treasure hunt. So this is the naughty treasure hunt. You know?
This is the becoming the man treasure hunt is what that was. Yeah. Right. But it was like everybody's like dreams had come true at that point.
Yeah. Really? Because big news in town.
Oh, yeah.
Have you been out to check it out? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it definitely made the rounds, and everybody, and I remember at one point, too, I went back to try to get more pictures, and the thing had just been ripped clean. It was like a carcass that had just been picked clean by buzzards, you know, out laying out in the woods. Mm-hmm. And it just kept on, like, getting closer and closer to the road, too, you know? But that wasn't the first time that we found a porno in the woods. I remember my younger brother and his friend, a different Ian, were riding down near the beach, and they found a cache of stolen video game cartridges and movies in the bushes. And I remember this movie in particular. This is still to this day my favorite porno I've ever seen in my life. Right? There may have been some ice dildos at one point in the flick, and that movie made it all over the place.
Because I think I remember that one.
Yeah. See, you know exactly what I'm. yeah. See, this made it all around. First, it made it all around town, and then it made it all around. Because I think, let's see.
Do you remember the name?
No, I don't. See, if I did, I'd own it. but I think my brother said that he was like 14 at that point or something like that. He was in seventh grade or something, so I must have been eighth grade at the time. And that really, like, you know, that movie made it across town lines. I mean, it made it into Kingston, then it made it over to Paulsbo, and, you know, from now, that, I mean, that movie's probably in Canada somewhere.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I mean, I would love to have a tracking number on that flick, because I would love to see where it's at now. So if you have that movie, if you know what movie I'm talking about, because I know that some of our old friends from Indianola are going to be listening to this episode, you drop me a line. Drop me a line. Because I want that fucking movie back. It's mine. It belongs with the Roden family.
I like that movie. Where it started. It was scary.
So, yeah, a lot of interesting stuff happened in town there. There was, and it seems like there was quite a bit of abandoned homes in our town when we were growing up, too. I remember specifically there was one right up the street from where I grew up, the house that I grew up, near the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. And right at the base of that hill on, I think, isn't that Seaview?
Was it across the street from the clubhouse?
No, it was on the same side as the clubhouse, but it was like four houses up. You know which one I'm talking about? It was all overgrown on the outside. It looked like something out of like a Nightmare on Elm Street movie. Mm-hmm. You know, and we used to go in there as kids, and I mean, everything was left there in the house.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was really creepy. And there, you know, big holes in the floor and like, you know, like sticker bushes growing up through the holes in the floor and stuff. And I remember specifically, like, there were still plates in the sink that like somebody had just stopped washing them and then just left.
Yeah.
And there was still popped popcorn in a big bowl.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, of course, it was like all shriveled up and dried up and stuff, but it was still, yeah, it was crazy. And that's where my parents got some of their antiques.
Oh.
Was from that house. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Just cruise by.
Yeah, a couple salt and pepper shakers from that place that we used to use camping. And yeah, but that was finally torn down a couple years ago and a big monstrous house was built in its place.
Yeah.
But it seems like old towns like that or small towns like that, it seems a lot, you know, kids have a free reign over that whole town. And we definitely caused some trouble. Did you ever try sneaking out? Were you one of those kids?
Well, I didn't really have to, fortunately.
Yeah? Yeah? Your parents just let you go?
Well, I was going to hang out with Joel, and they knew Joel well, so I didn't really have to sneak around too much.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Luckily. I definitely snuck, I remember sneaking in really late and trying to be so quiet.
Right, right. So quiet that you're like, every creak lasts longer than it should.
Right, because each step takes you about 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember sneaking in. And there was a lot of sneaking, just sneaking around. Like,
right, right.
Just hiding from cops and like, yeah, just jumping into like a bush when someone's
running by
for no reason.
Yeah, I did that.
But yeah, there was a lot of sneaking around. But it was the ideal place to do that. I mean, could you imagine trying to do that in a populated area or something?
Like, I think it would be easier because nobody knows who you are.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
I
was just thinking there wouldn't be as much shrubbery around.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I guess it's a different ball game.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, it would definitely be harder to find you too, because I remember once I snuck out with Joel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Joel was kind of like my parents viewed him as the troublemaker.
Right.
You know. And they didn't like me hanging out with that guy very much. And Joel, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry.
He's a great guy.
I apologize.
He's a great guy.
He is a great guy.
A wonderful carpenter.
Oh, he's a carpenter now.
He is.
Excellent, excellent. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. No, I heard that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I haven't seen any of his stuff yet, though. But yeah, it was hard to sneak around in Indianola because everybody knew who you were.
And who your parents were.
And who your parents were.
Exactly.
Right, right. And it was like you were basically the town was your parent.
Uh-huh.
It was like you were raised by the town.
Right.
Really. You know? So you couldn't get away with much.
It's true.
I mean, me and Joel got caught doing stuff all the time.
Yeah, I know. Someone would rat you out.
Right, right.
I was just going over an old story the other day with Joel about Kelsey. Are we allowed to use last names?
Busted. Shouldn't. I'll probably.
No, I mean, for the record, it was a girl named Kelsey. And she ratted out Zach, Joel. I feel like you may have been in that group. But there was definitely like, yeah, some people being stabbed in the back. And
was that
moms and dads finding out?
Was that the junior high incident?
Yeah. Well, it was just smoking pot in the woods.
Right, right. But it was, we were going to smoke pot at the school. Is that the time?
Maybe it was, yeah. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember that. Getting called into the principal's office. And Joel, yeah, that was kind of I actually was just thinking about that time, if it's the same instance. But, like, Joel had his pipe on him. And he had to like ditch that pipe right as he walked into, I think it was Mr. Hitchcock.
Hedgecock. But Hitchcock is a menacing name.
Right,
it
right.
Sounds like Hitchcock. Yeah.
It was Hedgecock's office, and he had to ditch that pipe right before he walked into the office.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, dude, my heart was pounding at that. Yeah, and that was not the first time that I had gotten caught. It was really, People were always ratting me out, man.
Really?
Yeah. I was always getting ratted on.
And your parents, how did they deal with it?
Oh, they put me in lockdown.
Really?
They were prepared to put me into a private school, too.
Were they?
Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy.
Threatened sending you away to like a boarding school.
Well, they were very, very nervous about me and drugs.
Mm-hmm.
For good reason, actually, it turns out.
Mm-hmm.
But we won't go into that. That's another episode altogether. Mm-hmm. You know, we had had some family issues with drugs in the past, and mm-hmm. So they were very, very protective over that kind of stuff. So, yeah, they took it very, very seriously, and I think a little too seriously, really, for something just as minor as, you know, the Mary.
Parents freak out
stuff. Yeah. Were your parents pretty open with like, drug use and stuff like that? Because this is a compliment. If anything, your parents are kind of hippies.
Absolutely.
Right?
Oh, yeah. They are. They are. They go to the Wiseacres community dinners, you know.
Uh-huh,
yeah. They're like, they try to eat what they grow as much as they can. And, in terms of drugs, my dad was cool with it, relatively.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I remember him just kind of having a conversation with me, like, I think after he heard that I had been caught smoking.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tito.
Who caught you?
My mom.
Oh.
Well, no, she didn't even see us smoking.
Right.
She just saw us walking on the road, and she just knows me so well. She just looked into my eyes, and she was like,
right.
Tito, can you come home? And I was like, oh. So I remember I went back to Joel's house and like washed my face and hands and like tried to collect my shit, you know, like just get it together.
Right.
And I think so when I went home, she was quite disappointed in me. And that was my mom's way of really showing disappointment or kind of I didn't feel like she would ever say you can't go out or punish me in that way, but being it was the disappointment.
That route, yeah.
Know?
Oh yeah.
And it's really
that's
effective
big.
On certain
that's
kids.
That's super super effective. I think it's effective on every kid
because
you really want to live up to your parents' like ideal and stuff.
Yeah.
And
right.
Yeah.
But my dad was like, "So you like marijuana?" I was like, "Yeah, I like certain things about it, like playing music and
right."
It enhances the listening experience to a certain extent. He was like, I've also found that to be true.
So at any point during this conversation, are you going, oh my God, this is so weird? Were you still high at the time?
No, I wasn't.
That's good.
No, I remember, though, we were actually in the parking lot of Ted Brown Music in Silverdale.
Oh, yeah.
And we were picking up something.
Well.
I don't quite remember what. Maybe a guitar or something.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I think we had this little conversation about how it was enjoyable in certain ways, but it was a powerful substance and shouldn't be abused.
Right.
I think that was kind of it.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, like I said, your parents were kind of, they were known as the hippier parents in town.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they would actually come and they would play music because your whole family is very musical.
Mm-hmm.
And they would come in, I remember, in elementary school, and they would come and play music at the elementary school.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they did that quite often, too, right? I mean, yeah. I remember it happening at least a couple times.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the circumstances were. Like, I don't know if they were hired by the school just to do an assembly and a cultural moment.
Right.
Or what? Or if they just volunteered. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
But some of my earliest performances actually were playing with my dad, like at Suquamish Elementary.
Really?
Something like that.
How old were you?
I think I was 8, maybe 9, 10.
Really? That young?
I was pretty,
and were you, were
I was
you playing piano?
I was playing keyboard.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I think both me and my dad were. He would do like a blues progression, the chords, and like walk a bass line.
Uh-huh.
With his left hand, and I would solo just one hand on the blues scale because that was the first scale I learned.
Right.
I remember those were my first performances.
No shit. So were you ever, because I would have died if my parents had come and done something like that at my school.
Uh-huh.
Like, were you ever like super embarrassed of your parents like coming and doing something like that?
I'm sure I was.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was. Yeah.
Your parents, by the way, your parents are not going to listen to this.
Okay.
So.
I'm sure I was. It's difficult to access those feelings right now, Aaron, actually.
Well, here, pour a little, get a little bit more bourbon in that glass and then tell me.
My mom is a substitute teacher. So that's why she made many appearances.
Okay. Okay.
In our elementary schools, my dad was not. My dad would probably have made those appearances when they came in to do a show or something. But
right, right.
My mom was more of a regular figure on our elementary school scene, and her instrument of choice to bring as a substitute teacher was the accordion.
Right, I remember that. Yeah, she would always have the
some reels, I think they call them some jigs and some reels.
Uh huh.
Which she still plays quite well. In fact, she's been getting better. We just bought her a new accordion at Potosa.
Oh, nice!
Which is
nice,
really cool accordion shop up on 45th
here in Seattle.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I remember the early accordion sessions at Squamish Elementary being a little bit embarrassing.
Right, right.
And some of my friends just kind of hanging back, being like, "Whoa, that's your mom, man! Like, what's she doing?" And then some kids dancing and having a ball, you know.
Right,
and
right.
I see my mom having a ball, and I think I remember getting a lot of positive feedback from kids saying your mom rules. Like, most substitute teachers are hell.
Right, right.
But yeah. Then here comes Mrs. Ramsey with her accordion.
Yeah. Well, see, that's always the case too. It's like, you know, everybody, you know, nobody else could give two shits whether or not your parent is there at the school. Uh-huh. But it's you always thinking like, oh my God, you know, what are they going to do to embarrass me?
Right.
You know, and I would, that was something that like my parents, my dad in particular, would always hang over my head as like, you know, if you don't get your shit together, I'm going to come to your school. And he used to do this. I'm going to come to your school dressed in my bathrobe. Really? And I'm going to sit in your class.
You threatened it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. That was, I mean, that would make me shut up like that, mm-hmm. You know, and, wow. But I was always really embarrassed. Like, at one point in my childhood, my dad, we had heard my dad was going to get a brand new car. Uh-huh. And everybody in town, all the kids in town, everybody's parents had, like, these minivans. Mm-hmm. And I think your parents were one of them, right?
No,
Didn't they have a van?
No. My parents had old, crappy cars, man.
Like a Volvo or something like that?
Oh, no. Like, old Toyota Tercel. That's still running, by the way.
They're still using it, huh?
Yeah, but just old, more of the beater.
Okay,
yeah,
okay. Yeah. I was thinking because...
My parents are teachers, man. They didn't...
but it's a great profession.
It is.
Right?
It is.
Yeah. They don't get paid enough.
No, they don't.
But I was always... Like, I was thinking, yeah, we're going to finally get a minivan. We're going to be able to fit in, you know, with the rest of the kids.
Fit everybody in.
Right, right. And so... It was either that or it was like a Mazda Miata, right?
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking, oh, yeah, okay, it's either going to be Mazda Miata or it's going to be minivan.
Tristan's dad had a Miata.
Right, right. Still does. Has the same Miata.
Still rocks
yeah.
that thing. That's
yeah,
teeny
and,
on him. Man.
I know.
He's like 6'6".
I know. I see him driving it sometimes and I'm just like, I just have to laugh because it's like watching eight clowns get out of a small clown car. You know?
Yeah.
But so my dad rolls up and he rolls up in this huge Crown Victoria V8 station wagon. You remember that thing?
Uh-huh, I do.
Oh my God. Suicide seats in the back that would flip up, you know, and that thing pulled a boat.
It had the wood paneling side?
No.
No, it didn't.
No, it didn't. It had it on the inside. Wood paneling on the inside. But man, that thing, I was so embarrassed. Whenever we were late for school, I would make my dad drop me off at the corner.
Oh,
and then
right.
I would walk. Yeah. I would walk up to the school.
Yeah.
Because I was like, you know, did not want to be seen in that thing. You know.
He probably saw you do that. And he knew that the, like, threat of him showing up in the robe would
work. I think that's when the threats actually started. Yeah, I pretty much gave him the material.
Yeah,
there.
You did.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good parenting. That's smart parenting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it helped out for a while, and then I realized, you know, at one point, he's never going to do that because he would be more embarrassed. And plus, that would be probably frowned upon.
I think that would be frowned
the elementary school. Yeah, especially when he kind of like, you know, spreads his legs open a little bit and his cock's just hanging there.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, we don't need that. We don't need that. Okay, well, with all this talk about music, how about we hear a couple songs from you? We got three songs that you're prepared to play for us here?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, perfect.
This first song is called So Obvious, and it's kind of inspired by Michael Jackson.
By Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
All right, can't wait to hear it. All right, here's Tito Ramsey with So Obvious.
On the road, what's that you're drinking? Leave it to me to keep bringing it, cause I got a thing for blue or red or white or whatever you wear tonight. And I know that it might so simple, and I know that it's obvious, but I just gotta know what's up with you, even if I gotta shake your socks. Thank you.
All right, Tito Ramsey, that was great, man.
Thanks, man.
So you said that that's kind of inspired by MJ, huh?
Well, it's just got such a kind of a slow, kind of a slow, funky tempo.
Right, right. Very soulful. Very soulful.
And yeah, I mean, I love Michael Jackson. And
right.
So yeah, he's been a big influence on me for a while.
Right on, right on. So, so you, I mean, you've kind of changed styles quite a bit too. Like you used to do, our bands played together a couple times in the past, and you were playing with like a full band there for a little while. What brought this current incarnation of your style here? How did this kind of come about? Because now, I mean, you're doing more electronic style now.
Yeah.
Rather than like full band stuff. So
yeah.
How did you kind of come to this point?
I think a big part of it was just wanting to make music by myself.
Right. Right.
And also living in an apartment and working just working on the computer
and not having to pay for a practice space
was kind of a big part of it also.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is also a huge, huge plus.
Yeah.
Right.
And then just getting really into, actually through some of the theater work that we were talking about earlier, I got really into mixing sound and creating sound effects and more of the world of tweaking sounds after they've been created. And so that's what a lot of this represents. Like I spent a lot of time mixing it and tweaking each synth and tweaking each beat so that it kind of fits right. I got really into EQing everything. And just that all that work that gets done.
Right, yeah. Right. So how long would you say, because you're using kind of your computer for all of this stuff now.
Yeah.
So how long would you say it takes to kind of make a song like that? How long did it take you to get to that song to the point where you feel like it's finished?
It's been months. Like four
months on one song.
On I think for all of them, I work on several at once.
Yeah.
I think this took, and most of them took, not long to actually create because there are ideas and melodies and things that maybe I've worked on here and there. But then mixing it took a long time, and
and
I'm learning that right now because that's not my forte, you know. But it was so interesting to me to try to figure that out. So I have like so many versions of it.
Like
I'll do a mix and then take it to my car or take it to another stereo and listen to it.
Right,
and something sounds weird. But finally, I think I just have to say, like, enough. Like, let's just start playing it.
Yeah. And then you get more comfortable with it, too, as time goes on. And it becomes yours.
It'll probably change. Yeah,
totally. So, I mean, have you ever gone through, like, and done, like, a huge part of a song like this and then just lost everything?
Due to, like, a computer malfunction?
Right.
I have not... Not on this one, knock on wood. I have lost lots of material.
Right. That's always my fear, too. Like, when doing this show, is like making sure that I press save, you know, when I do like the final mix down, and just like I am saving constantly. Yeah. And you got to remind yourself to do that kind of shit, too, because if you don't, like the first time you forget to like save it, you're fucked.
Yeah, no, I have a compulsive, like, Apple S.
Right.
Apple S. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people have that. Dun, dun, dun,
dun. Just like every few minutes. Uh-huh. Yeah, totally. Okay, so you're going to play another one for us.
Yeah, I am.
What's...
Got to figure out what I want to do here. This is actually really fun for me because it's the first time that this music's getting out of the house.
Oh, wonderful. So this is like an Air Raid exclusive here.
It is. It's a little bit of a kind of...
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. You heard it here first, everybody.
Let's go with this one. It's fun.
Okay. And what's this one called?
This one's called Touch Tone.
Touch Tone. Love it. Does it have any phone like samples in there or something?
It doesn't, but it could. Maybe I'll do some.
Okay.
I'll do some with my voice.
I want royalties on that shit if you decide to do that.
Okay.
All right. So this is Touch Tone by Tito Ramsey once again here on airraid.net.
forget my name. Sometimes I just might lose it, let go of everything. Held up by such confusion, everything got so complex. All these things seem so useless. I gotta shake the excess, strip of all the highs and the lows, drowned out by the monotones. Back in touch with not much, but it's starting to feel like home. And I break down, I'm wide awake now. Everything is feeling like a fake out. I can't wait now to get this ache out. Everything is feeling like a shakedown. And I break down, I'm wide awake now. Everything is feeling like a fake out. I can't wait now to get this ache out. Everything is feeling like a shakedown. Hey, would you ever lie to me? Get yourself in situations accidentally. I wouldn't want you to have to watch your step. Slip, fall, break your neck. I'll keep spinning back to front. Finally facing what you want and what you need. Turn upside down, easily found with your head to the ground. Put them up, give me everything you're hiding. Rip up the floor, tear off the siding. Strip down to your skinniest. Dispossessed of all the day's winnings. And at the same time, wash clean of all the good and the bad things. And I'm caught by the thrill of the sound. Suddenly it feels like a shakedown. Wide awake now. Everything is feeling like a fake out. I can't wait now to get this ache out. Everything is feeling like a shakedown. And I break down, I'm wide awake now. Everything is feeling like a fake out. I can't wait now to get this ache out. Everything is feeling like a shakedown. And I break down, I'm wide awake now. Everything is feeling like a fake out. I can't wait now to get this ache out. Everything is feeling like a shakedown. And I break down, I'm wide awake now. Can't wait now to get this ache out. Everything is feeling like a shakedown. And I break down, I'm wide awake now. Everything is feeling like a fake out. I can't wait now to get this ache out. Everything is feeling like a shakedown. Everything is feeling like a shakedown. Everything is feeling like a shakedown.
Sweet. That was great. That was great.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're really kind of coming into your own here, man. That's it sounds really, really good.
That was a fun one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, have you ever done anything like this before, where you're just kind of you're playing on radio?
No, this is the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's exciting.
What do you think?
I enjoy it quite a bit.
Especially when you're being fed drinks.
Yeah,
the
absolutely.
Whole time too, right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. And, we, you know, it's been a lot of fun, like, talking about all these, like, kind of old, getting caught smoking drugs, you know, and finding porno in the woods.
Absolutely.
Finding porno.
Those kinds of things make a person who they are. You
know? That's right. That's right. They formed us.
For better or worse.
thank you, everybody, for listening this week. This has been another arousing edition of AirRaid.net, the podcast. Tito, where can we find your stuff?
It's at Tito Ram, myspace.com, Tito Ramsey Music.
Okay.
And also on Facebook, you can be my friend. Isn't that what kids are doing?
I think so. I think that's what the kids, how the kids say it too. Yeah, yeah. So is that the only places we can find you online? Or are you playing any shows coming up?
No, I don't have anything, but I'd love to keep you posted and maybe you can let your listeners know.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, let us know. And that goes for all of you out there, too. Please keep sending your emails and words of encouragement. Oh, and before I forget, Matt in Michigan, very funny, sir. I'm quite aware that we're not up on iTunes yet. But I think, you know, sarcasm doesn't travel via the web very well. So,
no, it doesn't, actually.
But thanks for listening, Matt. And Brian in Missoula, here's a little shout out to you too. And Tito, you're going to take us out this week.
I am.
Awesome. What are we going to hear?
It's called Sword and Stone.
Sword and Stone. Ooh, I like this song. I like this song. I've heard this one before.
It'll sound different.
All electronic. Well, once again, please listen in next week. We got Ben Varellin, the master and commander of Helmsley and Varellin Amplifiers, our pseudo sponsor to the show, is going to be on, and we're going to be talking with him a little bit and hearing some Helmsley music. They're in the studio right now recording their, I think this is their second album. And then on the 20th, we're going to have, Star Anna and her laughing dogs on. So make sure you tune into that one too. Thanks again for listening, everybody. Remember, you can find us at www.air-raid.net on the interwebs. You can email me, Aaron@air-raid.net. And of course, you can find us on Stitcher Radio, a great app for your smartphones, and Zune Marketplace. And hopefully soon, Matt in Michigan, we will be on iTunes. We're still working real hard on that one. So Tito, play us out. This is Sword and Stone, and we will see you next week.
me to the soul, to the soul, to the soul, to stone.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Good thing I brought the orchestra with me.
Yeah.